Hello everyone, this is Comic Sound Production with another new episode of A Hot Cast. This time we're going to do an episode on the craziness of show business. We're having a special guest tonight, whose name is Shane Pithwa. He is our official host for the Very Good Time podcast, which is again another branch of Comic Sound Production.
Hey, how's it going, Yuri? It's good to be here.
Of course it is, yeah. Because you're on the Hotcast production show.
This is a first for me. I get to be on the Hotcast this time, you know? Normally I'm hosting A Very Good Time, but this is going to be pretty fun. You get to be the host this time.
Well, that's the whole show biz, you know?
Yeah.
What do you say, like, every time you were hosting the Very Good Time show, just like from your experience, let's say, you know, do you feel already some craze in the show biz? Like, do you feel like you're already catching on to the hype like this? You know, do you feel it's going to be a high potential up to your expectation, or do you think it's just going to be like another fun time for you?
That was a lot to take in, but what? Well, yeah, sure, there's craziness in showbiz and everything, that's no doubt. I mean, you know, even like we're around Los Angeles, you know, and that's just where it's the epicenter of entertainment media as it is, you know. And I remember in, you know, college and everything, all they kept talking about was social media, networking, this and that, you know, not really aligned to the whole creativity side of it, just sort of like making connections and things like that. And, but yeah, there's plenty of craziness in showbiz.
Well, yeah, it's especially with the startups. I mean, you can have a startup business venture, or you can also have a startup show business venture, right?
Yeah.
With many of the bands, podcasters, comedians, for example, Larry is a comedian.
Yeah, my friend Evan, he's a guitarist in a band. You know, he's trying to get that off the ground. He's actually quite the whiz with the computer editing, social networking, things like that.
Well, my rationale and my concern for that kind of a lifestyle was already such that, okay, is it ever going to be such a stable lifestyle for them? I mean, just imagine so many prominent figures, showbiz craziness and stuff like that, you know, the celebrities. Yeah. How many of them had a hectic lifestyle? I mean, so many of them. Look at Lady Gaga, even. I mean, especially, I mean, she, I knew, came from a more dysfunctional background, but she rose above it, obviously. Do you think, you know, anyone with whom you're associated also may risk having that kind of a lifestyle of fame in case they're going to become more famous?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility, you know, because now, I mean, you know, we're all kind of starting out. We're all fresh-faced young men. I mean, yeah, a lot of like Fergie addicted to meth before, you know, she got into music and everything. I mean, I'm sure it was a passion of hers, and then the meth sort of took over, and then, you know, she's back healthy and she's with one of the biggest bands in the world right now, you know, so it's definitely a possibility. But as far as people with me, I mean, you know, I mean, Evan, he's in a rock band, you know, that's touring across the country. And he's told me some crazy stories about being on tour and everything, the people he's met and everything, you know. And, you know, I mean, drugs, alcohol, partying, that's all part of the lifestyle. I mean, it's part of the perks of being a rock star, you know.
Perhaps.
As someone in their young 20s, you'd have to be insane to just say, I'm going to be straight-laced this whole time, you know.
That's how it is. And speaking of drugs and alcohol, I mean, think of someone like Amy Winehouse. I mean, this is a tragic episode. I mean,
very tragic.
Obviously, you know, dead too early, too young to fail, obviously. But again, she had a real addiction, and she has had it for quite some time. I mean, right now, just from a more of a philosophical, psychological perspective, do you think it's mainly also the showbiz to blame versus her background versus who she is? Or it's mainly just all about her and her own choices that she has made for her lifestyle?
No, I mean, it's really background, I'd say, you know, because a lot of stuff, it's a seed that germinates in early, you know, being a teen and everything, the alcoholism. I mean, she was just starting out, and she was already in sort of the stage where, you know, rockers who've been doing it for 5-7 years were in, you know, like Guns N' Roses in their prime, where, you know, Slash was getting trashed, Axl Rose was getting trashed, you know, but she was already early on in the addictive stages. Like, she should have been in this sort of stage that she was in, like, 10 years later, you know, when she was in her 30s, that's when the addiction should have kicked in, and she'd be, like, going to rehab and all that stuff. I mean, it's way too early for her.
I believe, from a more of an artistic perspective also, I believe some artists choose this kind of a more of a daredevilish, more of a delinquent, and a kind of a naughty image, you know. And, you know, one of the songs was, you know, the rehab song, right? I mean, it's infamous.
She had a self-destructive pattern already from the outset. It could have been family or something. I mean, she seemed to have loving parents, so it's hard to really say what her demons were. I mean, she had her fiance who was in jail all the time, so that could have been eating at her. I mean, it's depression, it's mental illness, and then, you know, the fuel for that fire is alcohol and drugs and everything. And, you know, her autopsy came out that she was 5 times over the legal limit.
Like
0.08 is legal, she was 0.4, you know? And that was because she had actually been off alcohol for a long time. you know, for like maybe a month or so. And then she, you know, had a drink and then kept going and kept going. And then it was just the shock of that back in her system is what really kind of killed her from the alcohol poisoning, you know?
Pretty dismal. Yeah. And this is what happens normally. I believe just like any kind of an escape, whether it's drugs, booze, which is obviously an evil way of escaping reality, or also there could be any kind of personal fun. I mean, some people are just addicted to different things, and show business is a great way to escape from your own reality, but in a healthy way, assuming you know how to lead your lifestyle and assuming you can just protect yourself,
I mean,
knowing how best to mobilize for any kind of a scenario for yourself.
A lot of comics are in that sort of self-destructive phase because in order to be really funny, you need to have some sort of pain in your life. There's nothing funny about someone who had a great family growing up and, you know, everything's working out for them. That's not funny, you know? So generally people who have like a little bit of, you know, mental illness in the family, you've got some family members who've been arrested, and also, you know, comics to get addicted to that lifestyle, because, you know, having people laugh at your jokes is also very addictive as well, in that it's that one thing you crave. You know, that's why comics do it for like 30-40 years despite the low pay, and, you know, maybe, you know, the gigs aren't that great and everything, but it's just that one thing they grasp onto, which, you know, is better than any drug for them.
Of course, it's true for anyone like that. I mean, any artist would feel the same in this situation. Just as a musician myself, you know, I have some experience performing, obviously. Mainly just performing in a studio environment. But I also have some live experience. And there is something special about actually feeding on the passion and the enthusiasm and the acclaim of the audience. You know they love it.
It's the feedback, right? It's
yeah,
the feedback
indeed,
that
indeed.
You really love.
So you know they love it. Once you know they love it, you somehow derive more than enough of a vicarious pleasure for yourself to somehow make yourself last.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, luckily you've already kicked your meth habit and your crack habit and
all
that.
It's all out,
so
you know.
Now you're back with the, you know, now it's a reboot of your musicianship, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a comeback for you.
Well, everyone has a comeback, you know. you cannot really underestimate yourself. I mean, I believe many people who do not go into the show business, those are also the crazy ones, especially if those are the ones who think they're not talented enough to succeed, because then they're just selling themselves too short. Imagine...
True.
So
there's a lot of very talented people who just don't put in the effort or don't have the self-esteem, you know.
And take like musical skills versus acting skills and then joking skills, comedians, right? I mean, we all have something special in common, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all want the acclaim. We want people to be inspired, to be motivated, to be somehow happy about their lives, right? Not to take it too seriously, obviously. I mean, there's humor in everything, even in music. I mean, when I compose a song, I can compose a more humorous song. I mean, I know it's crazy. I know, you know, normally people don't think that way, but it's true.
Yeah.
You can actually instill humor and optimism and all kinds of inspiration in any form of art.
Yeah, there's upbeat music. There's, you know, especially like when you have a great song with, you know, funny lyrics, you know. That, I mean, comedy songs are one of the hard things to do because not only does it have to be funny, but it also has to be a good song composed well and things like that. Like a lot of times you'll get funny lyrics but a bad beat, you know, or, you know, great beat, but it's just not that funny, you know. So...
Well,
that's one of the things I love is comedy music. Like John Bourgeois from The League, that guy is great.
Oh,
that guy
parodies,
is hilarious.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, he does a lot of great, well, not so much parody, but just sort of like songs about, like, he made a song about, you know, why does everybody care about Michael Jackson now that he's dead?
Crazy song, huh?
Yeah, he's talking about, like, people being hypocrites when we all said that he was a pedophile, and, like, now everyone's like, oh, we love you. You know,
it's very mockable, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what's crazy about the show biz in general. I mean, you can just have this artistic license to mock almost anything, and you can just get away with it for as long as you're away from the defamatory scale. Like once you start defaming someone intentionally, obviously it's just downright defamation, and
that's where
it's unethical.
Beefs, you know, rappers
it's,
have
yeah,
the beefs.
It's unethical, seriously. I mean, because there's ethics of show business. You just we.
It's called being a bad sport, not so much ethics.
Bad sport,
you know, because I don't get that the rappers who have beefs with other rappers. It all starts with, you know, someone's like, "Oh, Jay-Z ain't shit," and then it just starts like that and it goes back and forth like little kids. Like you're actually fighting with each other through your music. You know, it's like. Just let it go, you know?
It's, well, it's an old image, actually. I mean, it's kind of a pimpish, kind of a gangster image, you know, that many of them have.
It's
all for the show. I mean, obviously, it's
machismo.
Understandable.
It's the whole, like, I'm better than that person kind of thing, you know? That I mean, you know, it's sort of, it's in rap lyrics as it is. It's always like, I can fuck the best, I'm the richest, I'm the best at rapping, you know?
But do you know what they're selling, though? They're selling coolness. I mean, there's such concept. I mean, if you make the song sound too dorky, no one is going to buy it. No one is going to listen to it, right?
And unless you got a dorky audience.
Well,
you know?
Rap is just the opposite of it. I mean, if you take this kind of a sappy, romantic, kind of a old school love song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus a really tough ass kind of a rap song, Yeah. I mean, there's a drastic difference, right?
The gangster rap is very masculine and very aggressive and everything. Although, you know, I mean, you can still do rap without doing that and be successful, like, say, the Beastie Boys or Common. Yeah. You know, you can rap about other things. I mean, it takes a truly smart person to be able to rap about stuff that isn't normally rapped about, like living on the streets, things like that. I mean, you know, even Ice Cube has songs like, you know, It Was a Good Day, you know? And it's not even, you know, an aggressive song, but it's all about living that lifestyle, but... It's really about making yourself unique because, I mean, there's so many rappers that are just all the same. So many musicians, composers, and everything.
Yep.
Like, you know, the guys who compose CSI, doom-doom, you know, things like anybody can do that, you know?
Yeah.
But you really got to set yourself aside.
Oh, speaking of uniqueness and also incorporating personal experiences, consider someone like Eminem, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of a tough life he had had before growing up in Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, he was once on 60 Minutes also showing... how he could also rhyme things easily because he had trained himself so much,
that,
obviously.
Yeah, I remember that.
But he showed also the genuine emotions that manifest themselves in the rap lyrics. He said, you know, it's not all about just random words. He said, well, you know, once you incorporate the experiences, once you speak from the heart, there's going to be something special in the song, whether it's a rap song or any song.
Yeah, yeah. Because anything, you're always telling a story, whether it's a joke, whether it's a play, or, you know, whether it's a podcast. People want to hear a story, especially true stories, you know? And it's, you know, if you get that emotion, what you were feeling back then, to really come out in your music, then people really, you know, hook onto it.
But there's still this madness. I mean, I just mentioned Eminem, obviously. I mean, there was some unstable behavior from him, obviously. Yeah. But
it's
again,
amazing how many songs he has talking about how much he hates his ex-wife and how he wants to kill her.
This is a problem.
He's got at least five. He's got to have five songs about killing his ex-wife, Kim. You know?
Well, I don't know. It's, I think all those struggles and tribulations and burdens that he had had, I think helped him up and along the way probably to become the best he could be. That's just for him. But again, it does not necessitate, it does not give you a license to misbehave, to somehow maybe have violent behavior because, you know, you had a tough background. I had a tough background. Yeah. I mean, if fame has gotten into his head. Fame is a drug. I mean, you know how it is. So when it starts acting up on you, you know that pretty much you're setting yourself up for all kinds of crazy stuff, like, you know, maybe
because, like, this happens with all teen sensations, you know, they rise up and everything, and then now they're sort of heading in that downward spiral. And you need to save all your money because this whole teen sensation, it's only gonna last a certain amount of time. Maybe you've got about 5 years total as king of the world, you know. So that brings me to another topic. Now, we all love the Biebs, right? Justin Bieber, you know, everyone loves that guy, teen pop sensation. And, you know, now, I heard some really funny news. Well, not someone, well, I guess it's not funny for him, but it's funny for me because he got some random girl pregnant. It was at one of his shows and everything. It's like she was 19 at the time. She's 20 now. And it was sort of like she was kind of like in the sort of waiting backstage to meet him, you know. And so Bieber's bodyguard comes over to her and says, Bieber would like to meet you, you know. So she goes backstage and all that. And then they start talking and start up a conversation. And then the connection's there. And then he's like, you know, I want to make love to you, you know? And I've heard that his voice is cracked now. He did a Christmas album, and it's sort of broken, you know?
He's screwed.
Now he's hit puberty, and now it's broken. So it's deeper, you know? It's a sort of deeper, more resonant voice. It's not the baby, baby, you know?
I would not sing
baby,
that, sorry.
I love you, you know? That sort of like deeper sort of tone, you know? So,
Husky.
Yeah. Actually, I heard that he's spending a lot of money on his girlfriend, Selena Gomez. Like, his friends have been saying that he's spending like crazy to impress her, even though she's already like a millionaire, you know, she's on Disney Channel and all that stuff, and he spent over about $1 million already just on dates.
That's exactly what I was telling you. Seriously, you combine money and fame together, they form very, very powerful drugs.
And
pretty
he's
much
he's a teen, he's a dumbass. He turned his Cadillac into a Batmobile. It's called a Badillac.
That's what he did. As mad as it gets.
Yeah, he painted it matte black, put some Batman logos. He's a 17-year-old with unlimited money. That's what we'd all do when we were 17. We'd make our own Batmobile.
Well, if I was his advocate right now, I would say, well, he's trying to enjoy his life to the fullest. You know, he's trying to lead this crazy lifestyle.
He's
so that
definitely
he can just
a
actually
good time.
Have this most memorable life ever with all these, all the cherishable moments and stuff. You know, but again, part of it is bullcrap. Since you know, you don't have to get reckless. You don't have to get too crazy because then you're setting a bad example. Because once you rise to the top of the world like this, or in any kind of a prominent scale, you have to set a really good example. You have to be like a hero for many people.
That's true. It is hard to do that. You know, but he's also made the fatal flaw of having a girlfriend at the peak of his career. He should be banging every chick out there. You know, every teen who wants to bang him, he should be banging them, you know, because he's a teen, they're teens. Yeah. He should really be taking advantage of that because, I mean, you know, if we were teen sensations, I would be like, hey, let's hold up from the girlfriend for a while. Like Justin Timberlake, when he was a teen sensation, he became, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend with Britney Spears. And then that, you know, ran its course and then ended. But, you know, I mean, all these kind of teen relationships run their course.
Anything goes at this time, especially.
Do you think there's any sort of up and coming music stars that you're looking out for? You think, okay, this kid's going to be the next big thing, or this guy's going to be the next big thing. I mean, the guys who did that song Pumped Up Kicks, you know, what's their name? Foster the People. They're really the big up and coming band. And Black Keys as well. You know, this, you know, I was watching Pilot Season, all the new TV shows, and it seemed like Black Keys songs were in like almost all of them, because, you know, they're hip and cool, and then they want to infuse that into their pilots. So
no, it's right now it's just way too competitive out there.
Yeah,
I mean, just speaking from my own experience being in the show biz, only part-time, basically just kind of trying to occupy myself with these career goals and stuff. I mean, because you have to really believe in yourself. I mean, there's always someone out there who's probably a new kid on the market who wants to break through just for the sake of fame. I mean, they may not have anything
there's
special to offer.
There's somebody nipping at your heels.
You know, they may wear all kinds of crazy crazy outfits and stuff. Like, you know, it doesn't work that
Biebs
way.
Biebs is into the black and leather. He's really into the leather jackets, that's for sure. He doesn't really wear much other colors besides that. You know, here's an interesting thing. There was a big recall on all his Justin Bieber dolls because they were supposed to come out for Christmas season, where he had that sort of, you know, he's got that Bieber hair, you know, that long Bieber hair.
The trademark, you know, whatever they call it.
But he cut his hair. He cut his hair to be a more clean cut and crew cut, you know. And so they had to recall them all. And so now they sued Bieber for cutting his hair, and they actually have to have the people hand cut the hair of every single individual doll instead of making new dolls. They're cutting the hair.
And why would there be anyone suited when, I mean, this is nuts.
Imagine that job for some Chinese worker. You gotta cut doll hair.
I know, this is like it gets to be royalty where, you know, it's like, if my slightest hair is out of place, you know, this is not acceptable. I mean, imagine how many egos there are out there. I mean, imagine just take Justin Bieber, but take anyone who's also a more popular musician, artist. I mean, they pretty much all of them, to a certain extent, have a really big ego. Now, all the best ones pretty much know how to deal with it.
Wait, are you saying there might be ego in the showbiz industry?
Sometimes.
I think it's a little far-fetched. I think my friend Brett Ratner would oppose that.
Defend myself also here. Well, I'm speaking for any kind of an artist out there also.
Right.
I mean, it's really difficult sometimes to manage the ego, because artists normally create themselves, right? So they think they're creators. Mm-hmm. I don't think of myself as a creator. I think of myself as someone who is imaginative, creative, and someone who has high potential in something. I just don't want to waste it, obviously, like anyone else out there. But I have a sane outlook on it. I'm not like one of those crazy artists. I mean, the typical mad artist is such that whenever they want to get down to business, they create the most random image out of themselves ever. So they can become almost anything, like even the giraffe and stuff like that.
You get the Nicki Minaj's and the Lady Gaga's Keisha's, you know, they're really trying to perpetuate a look. They're really more of a character than they are a musician. And, you know, the ego thing that comes with everybody telling you that you're awesome. I mean, everybody tells Lady Gaga, "You're amazing, I love you." So it's like, that's got to go to your head. I mean, you know, it's even people who are on a top TV show, you know, CSI, I'm sure those guys are getting, "Mariska Hargitay, you're the greatest," you know?
Well, again, it's all part of that fame. I mean, you just have to resist it, probably, until it becomes a drug, obviously, until it becomes so overpowering, you have to probably either escape from it. And that's why many smart celebrities, they go into the private mode.
Yes.
They just smartly decide, don't touch me. Yeah. You know, if I'm in a restaurant, you know, don't bother me for an autograph like this. You know, I have my right to my privacy.
Well, I mean, there's privacy, like, you know, you don't want to tell everybody about your life. But then there's also, like, you know, the people who are, like, shake hands with their fans and all that. You know, like Denzel Washington, he's a private person, but, you know, we don't hear about him in the tabloids. But I'm sure if somebody came up to him, "Hey, Denzel Washington, I loved you in American Gangster," I'm sure he wouldn't be like, "Get the fuck away from me. Can't you see I'm eating dinner?" You'd have to be a real dick to do that, especially when you're on the top, you know, like Denzel is.
Here's the deal. Yeah. Also, it's anything with a big release, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many strive toward having a big release. Where is the blockbuster? Like, this in movies. Where is my smash hit
That's
song?
All
Where
doing.
Is my this?
They're I
mean,
all doing the
on Twitter,
tentacles.
I see the same problem. I mean, on Twitter, people are going nuts there. I mean, with these competitions there, it's like, who's going to have the most followers? Who's going to have the most fans? Let me have the numbers. And they equate popularity with prominence, with importance, and their high self-esteem, pretty much. It's basically fueling their self-esteem and nothing more.
Like, why would anybody want to know what Kim Kardashian has to think about anything? I mean, what is so great about her, you know? But she has like a billion tweet followers, same with Ashton Kutcher and
ridiculous
and all those people, you know. But like, they don't really have anything of substance to talk about, and then you wonder. It's like, I'm sure Kim Kardashian has a book along the way about stuff. It's like, who would want to read Kim Kardashian's book? What's so interesting about
her?
Well,
you know who
sex tape. What?
There are lots of shallow people out there, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, it splits fairly equally. I mean, there are you know, enough profound people in this world, enough shallow people. But again, lots of popularity, I think, is geared toward a more shallower crowds. I mean, nothing against them. I mean, we all sometimes like the fluffy, fun stuff like that that actually makes us look shallow. But, you know, it's the shallow entertainment that makes it easy on us, actually, to relax, to enjoy our comfy time like that, you know. There is something about the fun stuff also that I think makes things more popular. It's the fluffy thing.
Yeah. The fluffy stuff, yeah.
The fluffy stuff, yeah. That's how we call it, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it has to do with our 24-hour news cycle that we're always on. You know, it's like they have to keep coming up with news, so then they keep digging deeper and deeper into crap that really isn't there, you know? They make big deals out of stuff that's very little, like, you know, a comedian will make an off-color joke at a comic club. A performance, you know? And they'll say, oh, Tracy Morgan said this thing about how if his son was gay, he'd kill him, you know? And it's like, he's joking. He's on a stage with a mic. Yeah. He's a comedian. That's how it works, you know?
Let's do this.
What?
Let Comic Sound Production right now decide. Let's segment it. Let's break it down into science of comedy.
Okay.
Not to make the show biz too mad, obviously, because otherwise, you know, if people watch something that's just too wacky, I mean, they may actually turn wacky themselves. I mean, there's psychology behind it. I mean, you have to make sure you watch the right stuff.
By wacky, which I assume is a scientific term, what do you mean turn wacky?
Wacky. Well, there is psychology governing it, obviously. So whenever there is an inappropriate joke, it's too twisted, it's profane. I mean, it goes way out of bound like that. I mean, there is a science that just says, okay, if it goes overboard, there's called moderation. It's not acceptable anymore, right? I mean, very, very few are going to laugh at it.
Yeah.
And unless you're a sickle twisted, then you go, oh, this is so funny. Like, oh, and it's twisted, you know, but it's funny.
I guess,
you know,
maybe I'm a little twisted because I laugh at like everything.
Well, yeah.
Even like really like...
You're an exception to the
really,
rule.
Really, really like, you know, offensive jokes. Yeah, I'll laugh at it. Yesterday at the UCB Comedy Club I went to, that was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we've been there before. It's a good time, right?
Definitely. It was a very good time. That's how we are.
Yes, it is. It's a very good time. Yeah.
And I wish I can go there again, you know, for some fun times and new shows. Mm. I mean, I always enjoy the variety of comedy shows.
It's not bad, is it? It's like $5 for 3 hours of comedy. You can't beat that. That's one of the deals of the day in Los Angeles.
This is something special about the variety in any kind of showbiz, but especially comedy. Whenever there is a variety of jokes just being expressed and just kind of being genuine enough without kind of the forcibleness, then I think it makes it perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Because, I mean, you can tell the shows that try to force it. Like, there's plenty of sitcoms on right now, like Man Up and Last Man Standing. They really are trying to force the comedy when it's just not there, you know?
It wouldn't work. No, it wouldn't work.
I mean, you know, comedy comes, it's organic, it's natural, you know? That's really the way to do it. But it's like a lot of sitcoms you see, it's just joke after joke after joke. And when you have, like, you know, 50 jokes in a 30-minute episode, not all of them are going
to
be good.
And this is how it used to be. I think right now, we're seeing already the progression of comedy science, of how it evolves, basically. I mean, I know that many directors and comedians have studied it over the past few years.
Yeah.
That now it's evolving to be without the laughter tracks, mainly. I mean, now they're getting rid of them.
That's,
they're no longer effective.
That's refreshing, yeah.
And they're also evolving to be more of a dry, sarcastic, crazy humor that's natural without this scientific kind of proper timing. We don't need that timing, remember. There is some sort of
comic timing is definitely necessary, especially in a lot of actors. Like, a lot of big actors don't have good comic timing, you know, because that is something hard to perfect, and you have to be sharp and on your game, you know. Like, you see a lot of good dramatic actors do comic timing pretty well, like John C. Reilly. He's very good at what he does, you know.
And, but sometimes you just don't need that correct, precise timing like this, you know. Sometimes these random jokes and the randomization of the variable jokes like this,
like
that's what makes it funny.
In the world of television or just in general?
In general and in television,
especially
like this.
Yeah,
I mean, when there is a random joke coming at the random time, at the random place somewhere, sometimes it just makes it a lot more funnier because then you just don't expect it. See, there is a surprising ingredient. I mean, that's, again, pervasive in the showbiz.
Yeah.
If there's something surprising, it has a magical ingredient. It just comes after you like this without you expecting, and it just hits you over the head. Oh crap.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was really funny. Come on, do it again. Do it again.
The surprise factor is really key in comedy because there's a lot of jokes that go, you know, one way, and like, you know where it's heading. It's like a bad horror movie. You know where the killer is. You know who the killer is. Things like that. If without the surprise, there's no, in movies, there's no horror. Without the surprise, there's no comedy in comedy movies, or, you know, comedy in general. That's why, you know, you think it's going one way, and then it does a quick right turn into another direction. And that's really where you get the punchline in jokes, you know?
Well, I hope, just like we are also going to be making these turns and stuff like that with our venture, with the Comic Sound Production, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be the producer of it. You're supposed to be the main host of the podcast.
That's true.
I mean, we have to know where to point that also into the right direction.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, these ventures get so risky. I mean, there are so many of them starting out simultaneously that so many of them also fail. There's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it all really takes good planning and, you know, really, I mean, it's all about really working your ass off. You know, the more effort you put in, the more time you put in, the more, you know, likely you are to be successful. Because, I mean, you know, there are those people who, oh, I was discovered while eating at a Burger King and now I'm a multi-million-dollar platinum artist. It's like, no. I mean, you did, I mean, you know, Jennifer Lopez, let's say, for example, let's just say she got discovered at a McDonald's while she was working there. She also spent years before honing her craft and things like that. It's very rare you get someone who is talentless who gets then coached into becoming a successful artist, you know?
It's rare, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of a kind, basically. So you have to think of yourself as more special, obviously. I mean, if you think of yourself as just generic, as someone who's going to go nowhere like this,
yeah.
if there is low self-belief, I mean, it's almost doomed to fail. But whenever you just believe, like, okay, this is something special, I believe we can make it happen. And it also takes other people pretty much believing, especially in the showbiz ventures. It's very different there because then you're combining all crafts and different arts like that and different entertainment techniques to actually merge into one. And you still have just enough topics, enough of different types of media basically to occupy the viewer's attention, because nowadays, as we've known from before, viewers are getting ADD.
I mean, it's the internet. I mean, it's freaking huge. You know, there's so much out there for everybody's specialized interests, you know? I mean, it's really hard to really make yourself unique and individual and, you know, really shine a light on yourself and say, no, forget about all those guys. This is what we're doing, you know?
Exactly.
This is what you got to focus on. It's hard to do, you know? But, I mean, that's really is all about stretching it out. Like, you know, like Justin Timberlake, I really admire him because, you know, he was a musician, then he got into acting, and now he's really excelling at acting, and he takes risks. Like, he did Yogi Bear last year. This year he did the sci-fi action flick called In Time, and yeah, it's a pretty terrible film, but he took the risk, you know?
He took on the role, took on the challenge. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
He was like, I've never done an action movie. Let me give it a shot, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brave. And that's what constitutes some more of a versatile actor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're versatile, that means you can actually do multi-talented tricks, which means, you know, you're more valued on the market, which means you can take on almost any role. I mean, there were actors like that, you know, for example, Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you take Robert De Niro, for example. These are among the most versatile actors
right now in the business. I mean, but then you get some actors who play the same role over and over, and it's like, I don't think it's really a stretch for them, you know, doing that.
Exactly, and this is how it's important. It's important even for a venture like ours. I mean, for the Comic Sound production, I mean, we strive to have variety. We strive to have the versatility. I mean, we need it, obviously, because we're a startup. But, I mean, it's all for the people. It's all for their inspiration. It's for their amusement. That's what we live for, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. We're here to entertain. That's what we're here for, And we got a lot of cool stuff coming out. We got talking at the movies, you know? Very good times going pretty good.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And, with this podcast also. I mean, that's the second one so far right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first one was slightly more experimental, but even then still was the online dating podcast, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty entertaining. Yeah, if you haven't listened to that one, I'd say check that one out.
Yeah, but again, we'll just keep up to date with us. Just stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hope to release more of these podcasts sometime soon. And we're also going to have a Very Good Time episode coming up, hopefully in the next week.
Mm.
And
you got any guests lined up for future episodes of Hotcast?
Perhaps there might be. We'll look around.
Okay, yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe. I mean, we always have like the myriad of topics to browse around. I mean, we can talk about anything, and
for little,
that's what we are.
Little mini segments, yeah.
That's right. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, you know, I'd this has been a lot of fun.
It's been great. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Indeed. All right.